TV.
Okay, before I begin today, before I read a comment from JK, our sister Jen, from yesterday's show, I am obligated to tell you that you've got to get your hotel reservations made for the Kansas City Conference, because we have a block of rooms at a discount rate, and if you don't reserve your room soon, you'll miss out on the discount rate. Now, you don't want to do that, do you? Of course you don't. So go to my homepage, martinzender.com, and click on conference information and get that reservation at the hotel made. The conference is conveniently at the hotel, so you don't have to get up early in the morning, rent a car, take a taxi to the conference. No, it's right there, conveniently located. I know there's no hotel that's cheap. I know this is going to be an expensive undertaking. I know that. But I will tell you, if you've never been to a conference, it is so worth it. If you can do it. But you don't have to stay at that hotel. You can stay at less expensive hotels. There's a Super 8 or a Motel 6, or there's some mom and pop hotels in Kansas City. You don't have to stay where the conference is. You don't have to. You don't have to book at this hotel. Book at a less expensive hotel, or bring a tent or car camp or do whatever. That's an adventure. That would be an adventure. Just would be great to see you at the conference. Again, go to martinzender.com. The information will be there on my website. The deadline is looming. The deadline is this month for getting a room at the conference site at a discount rate. Thank you once again to Paula and Greg and Mark for all the planning they've done, all the work they've put in to make this a successful conference. Yes, I'm predicting it will be a successful conference if we're not snatched away first. Now, to the topic at hand. As you know, I have stated that I am winding down on this. Nobody wants to talk about this forever. It's an important topic. I'm leaving you with three major points showing you the flaws in the argument of our brothers, and they are our brothers, but they have been, well, let me read a comment first. Very important comment today by our sister, Jen. This is JKCBOC. This is Jennifer, and she said this. I'm so beyond over this eon and even the seeming regression in the body of Christ now. Again, my question to them, that is the Tories, is why are they obsessed with this, even if it were true? That is a great question. I am going to answer that question. It's nothing but another distraction. That's true. And a dumb one at that. I understand your frustration. Let me finish reading here, and then I will answer all your complaints satisfactorily. Come on, God, isn't it time yet to go before we are all just blasted to the point of collapse emotionally, spiritually, and physically, to the point of just being zombies here? I am so ready to go. And that is our sister Jennifer, and I certainly can understand her frustration and her desire to be done with this wicked eon. But let me answer this question. Why are they obsessed with this? Why are the Tories obsessed with trying to prove that Jesus Christ did not exist at all, was not even a being until Bethlehem? This is why. Don't think I was being dramatic yesterday when I said that their teaching is satanic. I was not kidding around. I was not speaking in overblown fashion. I was not employing hyperbole. This is satanic. They don't even know themselves why they're obsessed with this. They think they're battling against the Trinity by taking away a necessary platform of the Trinitarians, that is, a Jesus Christ who pre-existed his birth in Bethlehem. The Trinitarians have to have that. But there's all kinds of other things they have to have that they don't have, such as that Christ came out of God, and Christ was the origin of the creation of God. Christ was created, a created being. But Satan has co-opted our brothers to sow discord in the body of Christ. That's why Satan loves the teaching that takes glories away from Christ. In fact, you're going to hear a statement today. I wasn't planning on playing this today, but it's in the same video that my son put together by Liam McAllister, who's a sweet guy, a nice guy. We have videos of him wandering through the Scottish countryside talking about the salvation of all. And yet he says one of the most blasphemous things. This kind, sweet, nice guy with a cute accent and a cute demeanor. And he's so cute. He just want to pinch his cheeks sometimes. You know, like, oh, you're so cute. He's so delightful and lovable. And yet, on this topic, he's been co-opted by Satan. And it has caused him to credit the creation to us. He says, and I quote, and I'm going to play it for you. You could say that God created this whole thing through us, the body of Christ. God created this whole thing, that is the universe, through us, the body of Christ. How could anyone say that? I'm going to play it in context so nobody can accuse me of misquoting him. This is what the man says. Quote, you could say that God created this whole thing through us. How can someone get there? Like I said yesterday, it's one mistake after another until you get to the precipice of a black hole and you fall in and you can't get out. This has been a trap planted by our adversary. Again, Jennifer, it is to sow discord in the body of Christ. That's why they're obsessed with it, because it is satanic and Satan rubs their noses in it. Satan caused them to form a club around it. But on the positive side, God raises up those to combat this false teaching, Stephen and Seth and myself and others. And I feel terrible for the people who have been co-opted by the adversary. Co-opted. Let me read to you Ephesians. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says in verse 11, put on the panoply of God, that is the full armor of God, to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. For it is not ours, here it is, it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. It is the spiritual forces of wickedness who have hijacked nice people, cute people, pleasant people, actual members of the body of Christ, to work this darkness through them so as to, with the hopes of, let's say, convincing people to discard Christ's glories, to reduce him to a mere human being instead of being part God and part man. They have reduced him to a 100% man, as Peter May infamously said, he's 0% divine. That is Satan speaking through Peter May. A guy that I like. But this is the reason I can still like these guys. This is the reason I can still go out with them, hang out with them, is because I'm not wrestling against blood and flesh. I'm not wrestling against them per se. I mean, I'm presenting their arguments and I'm showing counter arguments. I'm showing how ignorant their teachings are and the principles upon which their teachings are forwarded. Pure ignorance. They haven't studied. They don't have sound exegetical skills here. They don't. I'm sorry to say they don't. But the reason they're still my friends is because I'm not wrestling against them. I'm wrestling against sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of this darkness. This teaching is darkness. It's darkness. And I feel sorry for the people putting it out there. But that's why, Jennifer, that's why they're obsessed with it. They can't really explain it themselves. You say it's nothing but another distraction. Yes, in one sense, it is a distraction, but Satan's tactics always boomerang on him. And what has happened is that we are all learning more about the glories of Christ. It has forced us to talk for a couple of weeks about the glories of Christ. This is the boomerang effect. Everything Satan tries to do is a boomerang effect. And unfortunately, of course, there are some casualties who have bitten on this falsehood. But these people are people who tend to sow discord in the body of Christ. Clyde Pilkington is one of them, sowing discord in the body of Christ with strange teaching. Norman LaBelle is out there teaching, and my son has a video on this too, teaching that I posited one day, if you remember a couple weeks ago, if Jesus Christ wasn't the firstborn of creation, if he wasn't the first creation that came out of God, who was? Satan? And Norman LaBelle actually believes that, yes, Satan was the firstborn. Satan has the honor of being the first being. But of course, I mean, shockingly, not of course, shockingly, Norman LaBelle believes that Satan was created a good angel who went bad one day. God meant for this angelic being, Lucifer, he's totally falling for the king of Babylon, king of Tyre lie that these chapters of Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 are talking about Satan's primordial perfection and how he fell from favor. It's just a total theological fiction, and Norman LaBelle is bought into it. And he's bought into this too. And Clyde is bought into this and that and 12 other things that are destructive to the body of Christ. You got to feel sorry for these guys, and I do. But by the same token, again, Jennifer, remember this. I know it's a dumb distraction, but no, let this disposition be in you, which is in me at this time, which is we're going to use this to learn even more about Christ and his glories. And that's exactly what's happened. I've learned more, and I know you have too. It's become a centerpiece of our discussion. We're going to move on. Somebody wanted me to not talk about this at the conference. Martin, don't talk about this at the Kansas City Conference. And I said, well, I'm not going to talk about the controversy, but do you think I'm going to stop anybody from heralding the truth of Christ's pre-Bethlehem glories? Heck no. Just because it bothers a couple, three people at the conference, am I going to stop somebody who wants to teach on the truth? No. Do I want to bring up the controversy? Will I personally bring up the controversy? No, I will not. But again, the truth will be heralded, and this inspires us all to herald it. So here is the nice guy from Scotland, Liam McAllister. Listen to what he has to say about the creation of the world. It's kind of hard to hear this, but also I'm going to comment on it. Ready for this? No, you're really not, but here it goes anyway.
I guess that you could say, because we predate sin, God created all of this, but with us in mind.
Because we predate sin, Liam McAllister says, God created all of this with us in mind. What do you mean we predate sin? He doesn't mean that. We were chosen in Christ before the disruption of the world, but he doesn't teach that we pre-exist. So he says we predate sin. What he means is in the mind of God, I guess. Let's go on. This is very terrible, and you wouldn't expect this from a guy as cute as Liam McAllister is. Really, really a cute guy. Here we go.
To be the body.
Yes, of course.
And this is Clyde in the background. Oh, yes, of course. Clyde loves this. Listen to this.
Could say that God created this whole thing through us.
No. You could say God created this whole thing through us. Let me go back to 8:43 in the video my son made, 8:43 minute mark. Listen to Liam McAllister.
Say, because we predate sin, God created all of this, but with us in mind, to be the body of Christ.
Yes, of
so
course.
You could say that God created this whole thing through us. Now, that does not mean...
You don't hear that big cheering section after he says that. You could say God created this whole thing through us. I'll tell you how he could possibly get there. Let's let him finish. I want to get him in context so I won't be accused of taking him out of context.
You could say that God created this whole thing through us. Now, that does not mean that we were literally there and we were co-creating it. That's not what that means.
Right.
That does not mean that we were literally there, he said, and co-creating. But they don't believe that Christ was literally there and co-creating either with God. They don't believe Christ was literally there. They don't believe it. And this is how he gets there. Their whole thing is to lower Christ to our level. Lower Christ, lower Christ, lower Christ to 0% divine, 100% human. And so they say that, well, Christ pre-existed in the mind of God, but then so did we. So did we. And yet the Tories have this troublesome verse to deal with, 1 Corinthians 8:6, all is created, all came out of God, and all came through Christ. But they don't believe Christ literally existed. But they don't believe we literally existed either. They think we have this in common with Christ, that neither of us literally existed. It's the false equivalence thing. Because we were both foreknown, Christ and the body of Christ, therefore we have everything in common. We did not pre-exist, therefore Christ did not pre-exist. But we have these troubling passages, troubling for the Tories, not for us, that say that all things came into existence through Christ. So how Liam gets here is to say, well, Christ didn't pre-exist, we didn't pre-exist, but the creation came through something. So you could say that God created this whole thing through us. God created this whole thing, the universe. God created everything through us. This is what it leads to. So I'm not saying we were co-creators. No, but you're not saying Christ was a co-creator either. But you're saying the figments of God's imagination created everything. The figments of God's imagination. Liam, name two figments of God's imagination who were quote-unquote there when the creation of the universe took place. Christ and the body of Christ. This is how he gets there. Not saying we're co-creators. No, but you're not saying Christ is a co-creator either. But this is the satanic statement. You could say that God created this whole thing through us. No, he did not. He created it all through Christ, not the body of Christ. We share in Christ's future glories, but we do not share in his pre-Bethlehem glories. No. You can't say, and I would never say, in my wildest imagination, that God created everything through us. You can't say that. Were we in the Garden of Gethsemane with Christ? Did we sweat blood? Were we whipped by the Romans? No. Did we drag the cross to Calvary? No. Christ did it for us. But we personally did not bear the sins of the world on our shoulders. We're the beneficiaries of that. And we were considered the beneficiaries of it even while Christ was being crucified. But we did not bear the sins with him. He became sin. We did not. He took on the sins of the world. We did not. God created the universe through him, not through us. But this is where you end up going. This is a place you end up going by following one mistake after another.
It means that God created all things according to the specifications of Christ and us. You know, you can't.
There it is. God created all things through the specifications of Christ and us. God created all things through the specifications of Christ and us. I showed God the blueprints. We showed God the blueprints, Christ and us. Now we're co-creators with Christ, according to Liam McAllister. Shame, shame on this statement. Shame on the whole stupid idea that God created everything through us. You could say, Liam says, no, not me. You'll never hear me say it. Now, I promise you, I'm going to go through the audio and comment the audio from yesterday, and here we go.
Paul says, for let this disposition be in you.
This is Mikael Solheim.
Which is in Christ Jesus also. If the mindset Paul is pointing to is being a pre-existent heavenly divine being who becomes a human, the Philippians, and by extension we also, cannot imitate this at all. We cannot pre-exist, transform our nature, or incarnate.
Okay, he has a chart there, and I'm going to read the chart. Paul says this is what he's reading. He's reading from a chart of his own invention, and the title of this chart is, if Paul were teaching incarnation, the argument becomes unusable. No, it's quite usable, quite functional, quite helpful. What becomes unusable is your false teaching that is based on a misunderstanding of what Paul is teaching. Paul says, for let this disposition be in you. Explained that yesterday. Not going to spend a lot of time on it today, but I am going to give you the real world example. Paul says, let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also. This is what Mikael Solheim says next. If the mindset Paul is pointing to is being a pre-existent heavenly divine being who becomes a human, The Philippians, and by extension, we also cannot imitate this at all. We cannot pre-exist, transform our nature, or incarnate. Or this is absolutely absurd. He's mixing up a disposition, that is a way of thinking, with being. He's considering these two things to be the same thing, but they're not. A disposition is a way of thinking. Being is being. And he even underlines disposition. I'll show you this chart here. He underlines, let this disposition, but he underlines it and italicizes it without understanding what it means. It's a particular mindset. And he says that if this mindset, so he appears that he understands it, is pointing, if this mindset Paul is pointing to is, quote, being a pre-existent heaven, it's not being anything. It's looking at Christ, who is that. And he says, this is why incarnation would be non-applicable. No, you absolutely destroy Christ's glory by misunderstanding, not knowing the difference between a mindset and being a certain thing. Let's go on here.
If he was an incarnation.
This is Clyde now. This is Clyde now. Before I get to Clyde, though, I'm going to read the rest of, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to read the rest of Mikael Solheim's quote, because I want to make a very important point with what Clyde's about to say. Even if Paul meant for us to share in the mindset of this alien being and not copy his incarnation, then his otherness would still be a barrier for us to follow. I'm not a divine being. So there he resorts once again to, I'm not a divine being. He resorts once again to being something, to being what Paul is saying. But it's not a matter of being what Paul is saying. It's a matter of having the same attitude, the same mindset that Christ had. This is the last time I'll talk about this because it's so stupid. I'm becoming stupider talking about it, honestly. I'm sorry. Jesus had to be, this is his final point from this chart. Jesus has to be one of us to be the head of the new humanity. He has to be a man, but he can't be 100% man or he can't save us. He's a divine being. He's from God. He's a heavenly man rather than a soilish man, 1 Corinthians 15:47. Never going to convince them. They're in a trap. Never going to convince them. None of them are going to come out of it from what I can see. Now, listen to Clyde Pilkington. I'm not even going to give you the real-world example today. This is too important. Well, I'll just give it to you in a complete nutshell. It's putting forth Michael Jordan as an example for your kid to follow. Your third grade daughter telling her to apply yourself in your homework like Michael Jordan applied himself to basketball. And then your wife saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that we have to take our daughter to Chicago and have her try out for the Chicago Bulls? Is that what you're saying? She's not tall enough. She's not fast enough. She doesn't know anything about basketball. This is how stupid it is to think that somebody would have to do what the idol, what the example, what the great one is doing. You don't have to do it, but it's an example. Be like that. And then the most insulting, craziest thing yet is then to destroy what Michael Jordan has done. This would be like the wife saying, because you think that our daughter is supposed to join the Chicago Bulls, which is not what the guy was saying at all. Just apply yourself to your homework in the same way, the same kind of concentration, the same kind of dedication, same kind of discipline. Use Michael Jordan as an example of how you should do your homework. As simple as it is, it's not any more complicated than that. But the wife comes in and says, oh, so she's supposed to be exactly like Michael Jordan. The husband says, no, are you crazy, woman? No. And the woman says, well, I'm glad you can't be saying that. But because of this, we have to take all Michael Jordan's trophies away, all his championships away, all his stats away, all his stature away, all his money away, all his Nike contracts away. Michael Jordan can't have that because you tried to make our daughter do what he does. This is how stupid it is to destroy the one being set up as a great example. To destroy the one being set up as a great example. That's what they've done. Now, listen to Clyde Pilkington.
If he was an incarnation, then my example of great hope and great faith vanishes.
Yes.
Because I can walk in the same circumstances with his faith, the same faith that he had.
You can walk in the same circumstance in his faith. What Clyde is talking about there is the circumstances of his crucifixion. It's so telling that they are trying to get rid of Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who, being inherently in the form of God, deems it not pillaging to be equal with God, nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, being found fashioned as a human, 6 through 8. They're doing away with that, but they're keeping, he humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And tomorrow you are going to hear how all their minds are blown by the example, the Michael Jordan type example of how Jesus Christ was this celestial being who emptied himself of celestial glory, went from being a celestial being to an earthly being. They none of them, as I said, none of them can understand it. And God help me, I'm going to do one more show showing you that. None of them can understand it. And Clyde is basically saying here, how can my faith, and you're going to hear more of this tomorrow, how can my faith, like, I can't relate to that. This is what they all say. And Clyde just introduced the thought of it here. I can't relate to a celestial man becoming a terrestrial. What's so hard to, you can't relate to the humility involved there? Of somebody going from have you ever read The Prince and the Pauper? Well, it's completely understandable. Unless you're a moron, I'm sorry. Why can't imitate it? Nobody's asking you to become a celestial being and then to take the form of a slave. Nobody's asking you to do that. What I find interesting is that why aren't they trying to destroy the second part of this? When he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. They think that's doable. You see what I mean? They think that is doable. Well, we can do that. That's normal. Finally, he's becoming someone like us. He is going to the cross with the sins of the world on his back. By his stripes, we are healed. This is honestly, in a way, even more fantastic than what we just read. It's even more fantastic that he's going through this torture while being the sacrifice, not only for the sins of humanity, but for the sins of the whole world. And this, you clowns can relate to? This you relate to? Oh, now we go, okay, now we get to be, now he's a normal man, finally. Forget this in the form of God becoming a slave. God, we don't understand that. That's not fair. You can't tell me that we're even supposed to use that as an example. That's fiction. Clyde says, oh, Now here's the man I can relate to. Here's the man I can tie my faith to, because what did Clyde say? In that circumstance, I can walk in that circumstance. Oh, really, Clyde? You can walk in that circumstance. Not just, I'm not talking about the circumstance of just being crucified, just being whipped by the Romans to within an inch of your life, and then paraded through the streets with the cross on your back, stripped of all your clothing, and nailed to a cross in front of your family. Nailed to a cross naked in front of your family. Okay, Clyde, maybe, yeah, okay, maybe I'll take you at your word there, that's something you can relate to, that's something you would do. Now we have an example that we can follow, finally. No, it's not just that. It's that he's dying for the sins of the world. He became sin. How's that, Clyde? Does that line up with what you think you can do? Become sin? He became sin for our sakes. He took the curse of the law upon him. Not only for humanity, but the whole universe. Oh, this is finally something we can relate to. Oh, relief at last. Get rid of the man who just went from being celestial to terrestrial. Now that I'm thinking about it, as fantastic as that is, this is going to the cross with the sins of the world at stake, with Satan barraging you with every weapon in his quiver of evil. We haven't even come close to understanding what that is. We haven't even come close to understanding what Christ went through in Gethsemane. Oh, but this is the one that, oh, you can relate to. Finally, something we can do. You arrogant bastards. Arrogance on parade. My God, now that I'm hearing myself teach on this, it would be easier to become a celestial being and take the form of a slave. I would read The Prince and the Pauper. Rags to riches, riches to rags. For Christ's sake, it's just, oh my God. This, to be consistent, not that consistency is your hallmark, it's not. I know, I'm sorry, I'm asking too much of you. To be consistent, you would have to say, since this is just as fantastic, in fact, the cross, going to the cross for the sins of the world, I would posit to you, is more fantastic than 2:6-8. More fantastic. You need to get rid of this too. Get rid of the crucifixion. Get rid of it. It's too much. How is it? And you're going to hear it tomorrow. Liam McAllister considers it a Disneyland, a freaky, weird, not understandable event that is going from celestial to a terrestrial being. Oh, but taking on the sins of the world and the universe while being whipped by the Romans and led to the cross and stripped naked. Oh, yeah, wow, that's more our speed. That's our style. We can imitate. No, get rid of it. No, get rid of it. Why don't you get rid of that? Well, that's the cross, Martin. We can't get rid of that. Well, this is the incarnation. This is the incarnation. This is how we got here to go to the cross. Explained in plain words by our apostle. But you don't believe these plain words because you have something against the Trinity. You think you have to do this. I know it's not you. It's Satan. Sorry I'm raising my voice at you. I should be yelling at Satan, but since you're here, I'm still your friend. You're still in the body of Christ. Be consistent. Get rid of the cross. Be consistent. Get rid of the cross. Be consistent. Get rid of the cross. You got rid of the incarnation, and that is just as plainly worded. It's just as plainly worded there in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, as it is where, and it's in verse 8. It's the same, in the same verse, he's being found in fashion as a human and humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's in the same verse. So not only are these neighboring verses, they're in the same verse. The incarnation is in the same verse as the crucifixion. Your goal is to destroy the incarnation, but you embrace the crucifixion. But you're inconsistent. You're inconsistent. You pretend, or I don't think you're pretending. You actually believe that now that you have a man, looking like we look, carrying a cross to Calvary. Now you think that this is, like Clyde says, this is something I can do. Is it? Is it? No. It's not even close to anything you can do. And no, Liam, God did not create this whole thing through us. And no, Jesus Christ did not save the world at the cross through us. He did it alone. He did it alone. Yes, we will share in his future glories. But these glories that Paul's talking about, if you're going to deny one, deny all of it.